Hello, and welcome to another Health Essentials podcast. I'm John Horton, your host. Your kids just got home from school, and they are hungry. Waiting for dinner? Not an option. They need to eat now. So what can you drag out of the fridge or cupboard for a healthy snack that won't ruin their appetite for later? It's a tough question, but that's why we have pediatric nutritionist Hannah Lichen on speed dial. She is one of the many experts at Cleveland Clinic who pop into our weekly podcast to share health information your family can put to good use. So let's get to the kitchen fast, because we know tummies are starting to rumble. Welcome to the podcast, Hannah. Thanks for answering our emergency snack call.
All right. Thanks for having me, John.
I want to start with a little bit of a confession. I'm a big time snackaholic. But for as much as I nibble during the day, my kids just ran laps around me when it came to the munchies. Why can't they ever fill up?
Sure. So there's a few things that can contribute to that. One being that kids have a lot higher calorie demand per kilogram of body weight as compared to adults. For example, an adult is like 25 to 30 calories per kilogram in body weight. And for a child, younger child, 1 to 3, is about like 80 calories per kilogram. So
Wow. As
you can see, yeah, it can be like double the amount. So they really need that for growth, bones, tissues, muscles, bodily functions. So that's one reason they're probably running laps around you. Another thing might just be like unbalanced meals throughout the day, pretty much. Protein and fiber is really going to help you stay full. So if they're not getting enough of that, they're probably going to want to be snacking.
Well, and that's what we're here to talk about today. So when the kiddos want a snack, when they're going to grab something, I'm guessing that we should try to sneak in a little bit of nutrition. So with that in mind, I guess what makes a snack healthy or unhealthy in your mind?
Sure. So I hate to say unhealthy. I like to say less nutrient dense.
Okay. That's a very nice way to put it.
So I would say less nutrient dense foods would be like our prepackaged foods, such as you would think like potato chips, fruit snacks, veggie straws. A lot of the things that I'm looking for snacks have two components, primarily being protein and fiber, as just mentioned. So that's always what I'm teaching my families, like high protein fiber snacks. Those are really going to be the snacks that are going to keep your kids full, satisfied. It doesn't ever hurt to pair a fruit and veggie with some type of protein. That's really what I teach my families.
Okay, well, and we are now going to get into some of those specifics because ahead of this, I asked you to come up with 8 options, 8 snack options. And that was because my kids always ate a ton of snacks. And, you know, that satisfies my grown-worthy dad joke requirement for today. So I figure I'm good now. So let's hit that list of yours, starting with vegetables with hummus. What's so good about that?
Yeah, that's really getting back to the basics. Protein and fiber, I'm probably going to be talking about that a ton. But obviously, any vegetable, fruit, whole grain, those are all high fiber. And then hummus, that's going to be like our protein source, but also has a ton of healthy fats in there, like olive oil. So those are two key components that I'm looking for snacks.
See, hummus just seems like one of those things that people don't naturally think of. But it sounds like it's really a kind of a protein-rich, just good item to kind of toss out there.
Yeah. I mean, my kid loves it. So I always bring it up, but I could definitely say within my practice, it is a forgotten food for sure. Maybe like adults tend to like it and then they don't think their kid's gonna like it. So they don't ever offer it. And then when I bring it up, I pretty much get the response like, yeah, that's a good idea. I think I'm going to try that. So I do think it's a forgotten food.
Well, and it is so good. And actually, that is it's a big part of your second item that you had on there, which was whole grain crackers with hummus. Is this just kind of throwing a new twist in? But what should we be looking for with the whole grain cracker?
Yeah, again, pretty much like a crunchy option, because I don't think your child's always going to want a vegetable as their snack. So always good to keep in the variety just to keep them interested. So like a whole grain cracker is always something I'm looking for. Again, pairing it with that high protein source could be hummus. It could be a cheese stick. It could be cottage cheese is coming back. It's having its way back into the society. Those type of things.
Now, you mentioned the crunchiness. And is that a big part of kind of what people are looking for when they snack? Like they want a certain feeling or sensation.
I think snacks just tend to be crunchy. Like that's what's craveable to the American palate. So that's what is desirable, I guess, for a child and for an adult. And obviously all the prepackaged convenience snacks are crunchy, and it's fun for a kid to have something crunchy. So that's tends to be the type of snack that we offer to them.
Well, it's definitely something I lean towards a lot too. So it's good to know I'm still embracing maybe my inner child here.
Yeah.
Moving on, the next one you had on the list was fruit with a nut butter spread or a handful of nuts. So what are we getting there?
Yeah. So the nut butter spread has a ton of healthy fats as well as a handful of nuts, but just be careful for choking hazards less than like 5 years of age. So I gave kind of both of the options, but high fat has some protein in it, but fat also tends to lead to some fullness, also some sweetness with the fruit. So just again, getting that variety in something that's more savory, like a hummus, and kind of pairing it with something that's more sweet. Always good to kind of change up the palate for your kid.
Well, and I think a lot of times people think about nuts and they do think that it's a pretty fatty food, but nuts tend to be in that good fat category, right?
Correct. Yeah, I get that question all the time. This is where I would say healthy fats versus more unhealthy fats. I do feel more comfortable categorizing that. But something like a saturated fat, I tend to stay away from. But unsaturated fats like nuts, seeds, avocado, olive oils, those type of things I strongly encourage because those things are good for brain growth, hormones, growth, development.
Okay, well, and nuts are actually a big part of another item on your list, which was kind of just a homemade trail mix. And I think you had in that we could throw in nuts, seeds, dried fruit, whole grain cereal. Is it like what kind of suggestions would you give as far as building your own trail mix?
It's going to be repetitive, protein, fiber. So the reason why, though, I tend to say a homemade trail mix versus a prepackage is because the prepackaged tend to add a lot of sugar. So by making your own, you're kind of controlling what goes into it. So by getting like an unsweetened nut, a no sugar added dried fruit, adding in an additional like crunchy, healthy whole grain cereal, maybe a few chocolate chips to kind of monitor the salt, the sugar intake. But also, it can be a fun activity for the child to kind of pick and choose. What do you want to go into your homemade trail mix? I think it's always like a more inventive idea, and the kid and the parent tends to be more excited about it.
I love that idea of like having them help put it together, and then you kind of have that as a snack for the week when maybe they get home from school or they're just, you know, they have the nibbles.
Yeah.
You had mentioned the dried fruit, and I know that's kind of come up on the podcast before. I take it people really, you do need to be careful because those can be absolute sugar bombs, right?
Right. So we'll probably get into label reading at some point, but I always look at the added sugar. That's where you kind of get in trouble. But something less than 10 grams of added sugar for like a dried fruit or a no sugar added. So it's just the fruit that's dried is something that I'm looking for. But portion control is also important because I always explain it to families. It's like taking 20 to 30 grapes and putting it into one teeny small package. So you could eat a few packages and you could kind of feel fine about it, but it ends up being a lot more carbohydrates, which can turn into sugars or fats. So just portion control with the dried fruits and looking for the no sugar added, I always look for.
Okay. Well, and speaking of fruits, the next two items on the list are both very fruit heavy and they seem to emphasize whole fruits. So just, you know, not, they haven't gone through any processing or drying or things like that, but you have them mixed with Greek yogurt or cottage cheese. What, I mean, obviously it's very tasty. I eat that all the time, but what nutritional benefits are coming out of that?
Yeah. So you know, the protein, definitely going to say, but also from a dairy standpoint from kids, the high calcium and vitamin D content helped with the bone growth. And since they're growing so much in their height, they do need about 3 to 4 servings of dairy per day. So it's always good. It could even be a cup of milk with an apple. It doesn't even have to be necessarily the cottage cheese or the Greek yogurt, which might be a little bit more fun for the kid. But those are like the additional benefits that you would get from a dairy serving with a fiber serving coming from the fruit.
Now the last two, we kind of get in a little bit of a different areas, although we're still, like you said, protein and fiber and things like that. Number 7 was an apple and a cheese slice. That seems so simple, but I guess it can be that easy if you have the right food.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it comes second nature to me with my 2-year-old because he eats all of these things. I think when you start to kind of incorporate these regularly in your diet, again, becomes second nature. But when you tend to give like the prepackaged crunchy snacks that you think of on the market, that's what you're used to giving. So it just kind of changing up what you think about snacks, but it doesn't have to be, you know, anything complicated, just whole fruits, vegetables, cheese, just stuff that you would have in your everyday pantry.
You know, and that is one of the things that strikes me with the list that you sent. These all are, they're pretty common items, but they're not necessarily the first thing that you reach for when you're looking for a snack, but yeah. These all seem like foods that'll fill you up a little bit, and actually, I mean, they're real food.
Yeah, exactly. I think people just think a snack is something that comes in a bag, but a snack can be anything that you can be super creative, anything you put your mind to, you can pretty much make into a snack. But yeah, it's everyday household items. You don't need anything that's prepackaged really for snacks.
Well, I promised people 8, so I want to make sure we get to the last one so I satisfy my whole dad joke.
Sure. This up there. One, I tend to get a good response to.
Well, and the last one was very similar, kind of a turkey cheese stick roll up and cut up vegetables. So you're kind of, there's a whole lot getting thrown in there.
Yeah, like a little charcuterie board type situation.
Yeah, a kitty charcuterie. I like that.
Yeah, that's another good one. Protein fiber combination, just making it a little bit different for them. I think when I mentioned that roll up, that also kind of strikes families like, hey, like that's kind of an inventive, creative idea for the kid, would be a little bit more fun. I feel like the kids get excited about that one.
Oh, as you were like mentioning a little bit ago, the prepackaged snacks are often not the best choice. But as you know, they also are incredibly easy. So are there any options that might work if you're looking for something really quick?
I get this question all the time. These are the general guidelines I give to every single family that I see and also myself I follow. Always look at the label. So I shoot for less than 3 grams of saturated fat per serving. Trans fat should be 0. The FDA has banned it the last several years, so it should no longer be in any foods, but I always still kind of mention because it's on the label, so it gets a little confusing. I look for 3 to 5 grams of fiber per serving. And then as mentioned, the less than 10 grams of added sugar per serving. So the label was updated a few years ago, and it takes into consideration total sugar and added sugar. Like the total sugar is the natural sugar plus the added sugar. And then the added sugar is like the white sugar, all those things that we kind of want to keep on the lower end. So again, less than 10 grams added sugar.
Okay. Those seem like very key points. So just to go over it again, when you're looking at that nutrition label on the side, you yeah. want less than 3 grams of saturated fat, no trans fat,
yep.
3 to 5 grams of fiber, mm-hmm. and less than 10 grams of added sugar.
Correct.
That seems really easy and a simple way to kind of narrow down your snack choices.
Yep.
Now, the one thing, as any parent knows, it's often really difficult for healthy snacks to compete against candy and donuts and chips and so many other things. Do you have any tips on kind of selling this good food to the kiddos?
It's human nature for an adult or a kid to gravitate towards high fat, high salt, high sugar, because that's what your palate craves. I really like to tell families to try to keep those out of the house and make it an event to go out and get something like an ice cream or a bag of chips. Because again, we don't want to make anything forbidden to the child. So it's really key. Don't try to you're trying not to keep the unhealthy snacks or less nutrient dense snacks in the house. And again, make it an event like one or two times a week or the weekend the family goes out to get those type of treats for the child. So again, it doesn't feel like it's a restricted food for them. That's the biggest takeaway. Also when providing snacks, you know, I like to tell families to give the child two options because it lets the parent have control of the nutrient dense item they're going to choose. But then it also gives the child control in choosing what one out of the two do they want to pick. So again, gives the child control, gives the parent control, and ultimately they end up with a nutrient dense snacks, which is the ultimate goal.
You know, another thing I would imagine might work too, and my wife uses this on me still. It seems like if you have fruits and vegetables that are cut up and kind of sitting out there on the counter, you just kind of naturally will grab them and snack on them. I mean, is that a good way to kind of push them out there?
Totally. You don't even know how many times I hear, well, we don't have any fruits and vegetables in the house. Oh, well, honey, they're right in the drawer.
You got to do a little more prep with them. It's hard.
Yeah, exactly. It takes a few extra minutes, but I definitely feel, even for my husband, I kind of use that trick, but like pre-washing, cutting, preparing, front of the fridge, that's always a good idea for the older kids who have like more control over their snack choices and stuff like that. But for the younger kids, of course, presenting it to them would be the option for the younger kids.
Well, I do. I'm glad to hear your husband's in the same boat that I am, because I feel like I, every single time, and my wife laughs because she's like, I know you'll eat it if I have it sitting out there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I'll go through a whole plate of celery and carrot sticks, which I would just never pull out of the fridge on my own. But
oh, yeah, you guys are exact same.
Now, one of the big issues with snacking is when kids just snack too much and then they don't eat a good meal later. How do you find that right balance?
Yeah, so it's really as important as a parent to have scheduled meal and snack times. Because if you kind of allow the child to graze throughout the day, they're naturally not going to have an instinct to have a big appetite for a meal. If you're feeling like snack time's occurring like 30 to 60 minutes before your meal and they're just completely avoiding their meal, that's a time to kind of revamp your schedule and say, hey, like, let's move your snack 2 hours before a meal. So therefore, you're not going to have such a low appetite for the main meal. And also protein and fiber. So when you eat a high protein fiber snack, the child's going to portion control naturally. Versus when they fill up on the less nutrient dense snacks, like the low fiber, low protein, they can eat a lot of that snack, like a lot of chips, a lot of fruit snacks, a lot of veggie straws. And then by the time the carb kind of gets ingested, then they're starting to feel their feelings of fullness, and then it's dinner time and then they don't want to eat. So the natural instinct to portion control with the high fiber and protein is really key.
Well, that's where we get back to, like we were talking about, eating real food as snacks and not just, you know, I was going to say garbage food, but what's the phrase you had? Less nutrient dense.
Less nutrient dense. Yes.
Well, this conversation, I have to be honest, has made me really hungry. But before we part ways and I head to the kitchen, do you have any other advice or guidance when it comes to kids and snacking?
Yeah, I would say that snacking is just a natural process for both children and adults. It's very common and healthy. I want to emphasize healthy for kids to snack. I would just say as a parent, I know you always just want to make sure you're doing right by your child. You're just giving them the best of everything. So by providing nutrient-dense snacks, by giving them a few options to choose from, being a good role model, those kind of things will support optimal growth, development, and help with their hunger.
Hannah, thank you so much for such a wonderful conversation. And I think I have a banana waiting for me upstairs. So thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, John.
It's okay if your kids want to snack. They all do. But use the opportunity to squeeze some nutrition into their diet with the healthy snacks that Hannah recommended. With any luck, they'll fill your kids up and maybe even give you a few minutes of peace and quiet. If you liked what you heard today, please hit the subscribe button and leave a comment to share your thoughts. Till next time, be well.
Thank you for listening to Health Essentials, brought to you by Cleveland Clinic and Cleveland Clinic Children's. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or visit clevelandclinic.org/HEpodcast. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician.